brethren. Let's turn to Isaiah 51.
I was speaking this week with a pastor, and we were quoting scripture to one another, and we quoted a scripture and began to try to remember where it was, and he said, I believe that was Isaiah 51. And after we hung up, he texted me and he said, read Isaiah 51. This will comfort you. And I read it, and it was one of those cases where it just leaped off the page and I couldn't write fast enough. Now, at the time the Lord sent this word, he sent it particularly for Isaiah, but he also sent it to the elect among Israel. Now, at the time, Isaiah was cast down. He was despondent. The children of Israel were as well, because they were greatly troubled. They were taken into Assyrian captivity. And so there was nobody to preach the gospel. They were captives and they were exiled. And there was much trouble, much tribulation. They were full of anxious thought, full of unbelief. And they were like Peter. They were looking at all these things going on, and it just kept making them lower and lower and more despondent. And so the Lord sent this word. Now listen to verse 1. He says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. The Lord turned them from the things below, and he said, hearken to me. Listen to me. That's what he did. He's going to turn us and set our affection on him. He says, listen to me. Three times he says, hearken. And each time he says, hearken to me. Now, this is the Lord speaking, and he's speaking to you that follow after Christ our righteousness, who know Christ our righteousness. Verse 1, he says, look unto the rock whence you're hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you're digged. Look to Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Now, each of us here that are born of God, who are Christ, we are children of Abraham. We're children of Abraham. We're children of the promise. We're children of the free woman, born of everlasting covenant promise. And so he says, now look back to Abraham. Look to your father. Look back there. And he says, verse 2, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. God says, I'm the only one who gets the glory. I called Abraham. I called him alone. I called him. I called him from eternity. I called him out of Ur when he came out. I brought him out. I called him throughout his life. We constantly read over in the Genesis where he would say, Abraham, he'd say, here am I. Whenever Abraham didn't know which way to go, the Lord would call him. When he was down, the Lord called him. And he said, I called him. I called him. When it came to time to die, God called him. God never stops calling his people, and therefore we never stop coming to Christ. Peter said, unto whom coming? He keeps calling us. We keep coming to him. That's his promise to us. Look at verse 2. And I alone blessed him. Blessed him with all spiritual blessings in eternity. Blessed him throughout his life with all spiritual blessings, with temporal blessings. Abraham lacked nothing because God said, I blessed him. Look at verse 2, and I alone increased him. He increased him with that promised son, Isaac. He increased him with Jacob. Increased him with the 12 tribes. And is still increasing him today every time he calls one of his elect to Christ. Every up and every down, every which way he went, it was God increasing him. And that's God's summary of Abraham's life. And that's his summary of our life, believer. I called him along. I blessed him. I increased him. Now, why is he telling us this? What's the purpose of this? Verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. This is the promise, the covenant promise of God who cannot lie. The Lord will comfort his people. The reason we're comforted with the gospel is because God blessed, he called, he blessed, and he increased Abraham. That's how come we had the gospel preached to us. That's what he's saying. I called him. I blessed him. I increased him. Because I'm going to comfort my people. That's how come you and I have the gospel. And he's telling us, I called you, I blessed you, and I'll increase you because I got others I'm going to call and I'm going to comfort. That's what he's telling us. So our covenant-keeping God promises the Lord shall comfort Zion. He's going to comfort us, and he's going to use us to preach his gospel, and he's going to comfort those he calls out. But we're weak, aren't we? We're desolate. We're in a wilderness. We're in a desert. And as we go through this, I'm just going to go verse by verse, but you're going to see they were desolated. I mean, there was nobody to preach. They were just scattered and desolated. And it sounds like where we live. But look at verse 3. He says he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now, he's told us he's not going to do this by might. He's not going to do this by power. He said, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He's going to do it by his spirit. That's how he's working. Now, first of all, the Lord comforts us by the gospel of Christ's finished redemption. This is why he's comforting Isaiah and the children of Israel. He's going to comfort through the gospel of Christ's finished redemption. He says, verse 4, hearken unto me, my people. Give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Now, a law, the word, the covenant, the gospel proceeded from God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. He said, this word's going forth, this covenant's going forth, and Christ came forth. He is the word. He is the covenant. And he came forth, and that's why God says, my righteousness is near. Christ is God's righteousness. And he come forth, and he said, my salvation is gone forth. Christ is God's salvation for his people. And on the cross, Christ fulfilled and honored and magnified the law for his people. He accomplished that for his people. And so he made judgment to rest for a light to the people. He made judgment rest for a light to the people. In Christ crucified is where we see the light. It's the light. It's God's righteousness and mercy having met in harmony. It's through the gospel that he gives light. That's where he gives discernment. That's where he makes you to know his judgment rests. He's satisfied. He's our righteousness and our salvation. He's comforting us through this gospel. So now from heavenly Zion, that's where Christ is. And from heavenly Zion, his gospel proceeds from Christ. It goes forth from Christ, and it shall go forth until the last child is called. He said, on my arm shall they trust. He's going to bring them all to trust him. So he's comforting through this gospel. Now, he comforts us by declaring to us that we who believe have eternal life and everlasting salvation by Christ. He reminds us of this over and over. You have eternal life. It's eternal. You have everlasting salvation. So look at verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. This heavens and this earth shall vanish away. It's going to wax old like a garment. It's going to vanish away, and all flesh shall die because of sin. All flesh. But Christ has created us anew. He's created a new heaven and a new earth. That's his people. That's his people. And he tells us here that he's created us in righteousness. And so his salvation and his righteousness is forever. It'll never be abolished. You know what Peter said in the new birth? When Christ gives us life, we're born of the living word, the word that abides and lives forever. And therefore, that new man that's birthed by him lives and abides forever. Shall never die. He said, you're born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The new man in you, believer, is eternal. He's eternally righteous, eternally saved, and shall never die. Now, our flesh is grass. And so Peter said, the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. That's what God said, this earth and everything in it, this heavens, and all flesh is going to die. All of it. But he said, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. This is the living word, the abiding word. And being born of him, we live forever. We abide forever. That's the comfort wherewith he comforts all in Zion. He makes you to know his salvation's forever. His righteousness shall not be abolished. And therefore, brethren, you have eternal life. You have it right now in possession. And so the Lord makes the application. Having said that, listen to this application. Verse 7. Hearken unto me. Hearken unto me, ye that know Christ our righteousness. You that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law. The people who've been born of my word. In whose heart my covenant is. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Neither be ye afraid of their revilings. He just keeps telling them. He does this constantly. Hearken to me. Turn from looking at these things. Hearken to me, God said. Hearken to me. You're righteous in Christ. You've been made righteousness in Christ. Do not fear the reproach of men. God says, my eternal word's in your heart. Do not be afraid of men's revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Now, when the Lord comforts us, this is how he renews our inward man. Isaiah is cast down, and the children of Israel are cast down. His true elect among them are cast down. But when he speaks this word and really speaks effectually and says, hearken to me, we hearken to him. We hear him. And when he does that, he renews the inward man and he mortifies his flesh. It's our flesh that's despondent. It's our flesh that's cast down. It's our flesh that can't look at anything. It looks at everything else but God. But when he says this, he strengthens us and he wakes us up. Now watch this. Now Isaiah starts crying for him to awake. Verse 9. So he wakes you up and he makes you call on him. We wouldn't otherwise. We wouldn't. Imagine if we were invaded by a foreign nation and taken captive. Think how despondent we'd be. What's going to keep you in the midst of something like that? Same thing keeps us every day. He wakes you up. He renews the inward man. And when he does that, then you start calling on him. Look what he says in verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Christ is the arm of the Lord. Isaiah's calling out to him now. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. This is who woke who here? We start praying to God and calling on God. And begging God to awake to do something for us, why do we call on him? Who woke who here? The Lord came first and said, hearken to me. And he said all these promises of how he's going to comfort his people. And what we're going to see here is Isaiah says the same thing right back to him. He says, awake, hearken. And he says, verse 9, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab? You're not the one who destroyed Egypt. You're the one who wounded the dragon, the serpent, Pharaoh. Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that have made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? He wakes you up to call upon Christ. Oh, arm of the Lord, power of the Lord. You're the one who delivered your people out of Egypt. You're the one who came forth and opened the way for the ransom to pass over. You bore the justice that we deserve and made us righteous and gave us this salvation. Awake, for us. He conquered sin, death, and hell for us, and in Him we're passing over. And when He brings us to cast it all on Him, then He gives us this assurance. Since Christ ransomed us, He promises, verse 11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. In Adam we departed. Our sin separated us from God. And Israel here was separated out of Zion because they had turned to idolatry and sin and self-righteousness and trying to come to God by their own hand. And God is saying, I'm bringing you back. And that's what He's telling you and me. You're coming to heavenly Zion. You're returning to the Lord. We really are marching to Zion. That's what we're doing. This is not our home. This is going to be burned up. We're marching to Zion. Verse 11. You'll come with singing, with everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Notice there He says everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Singular. Back in Isaiah 35:10, He says everlasting joy be on their heads. Plural. And we're going to have everlasting joy on our heads, each of us. But when He brings us to glory, there's going to be everlasting joy on Christ our head. He said He will dwell with them and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And we have reason right now to rejoice. We have no reason not to rejoice. Because this is eternal, what I'm talking about. This is eternal. And we have this. Now, our Lord reminds us again that He alone is the one who's going to comfort. He says in verse 12, I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forget the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if He were ready to destroy, as if the oppressor made Himself ready to destroy. Where's the fury of the oppressor, He said. Our Savior promises here, I am He that comforts you. Do you think anything's going to stop His people from being comforted? Nothing. Nothing. So, after He's reminded us that we're eternal, and He reminded us that we're immortal, and He reminded us that we have everlasting righteousness, that we're eternally saved, He asked this, now who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die? Or the Son of Man who's perishing grass, and forget your Maker? He says, you have eternal life. You have eternal righteousness. You have eternal salvation. You're never going to die. Who are you to be afraid of men that are nothing but grass? He said, I stretch forth the heavens. I'm your Maker. I laid the foundation of the earth. You remember Isaiah 40, verse 12 says, He meted out heaven with a span. He stretched out the heavens as a curtain. He spread them out as a tent to dwell in. When He says He meted out heaven with a span, that's what you do on your computer when you put your fingers on there and you spread them out like that and open a window. He said, I made the heavens that way. I spread them out like a curtain with his hand. He says, and why are you fearing continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if He were ready to destroy? Where's the fury of the oppressor? Anybody who would oppress one of His people, anybody who would try to pour out their fury on one of His people. Listen to this, Isaiah 54, look over there, 54 verse 5. Thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. That means He rules everything. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall He be called. Now drop down to verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. They're going to gather together, he said. They only can gather together if he permits them to. But he says, if it's not my will for them, he says, they're going to gather together, but they're going to fall for your sake. Look at verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and it brings forth an instrument for his work, and I've created the waster to destroy. But no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. This is God's covenant promise to us, brethren. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's why he says, every tongue is going to rise against you in judgment. You're going to condemn them. Because your righteousness is of me. Your righteousness is of me, God said. Now, he's going to illustrate our fear and our anxiety. Go back to Isaiah 51 and look at verse 14. He says here, the captive exile. Now, they're taken by the Assyrians, and they're captive. And he's describing here, he's illustrating what people do when they get fearful and anxious because of looking at things below and circumstances. He says, the captive exile hasteneth. He's full of anxiety that he may be loosed and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. You know how unbelief takes us captive. It just takes us captive. We're in a body of flesh, and unbelief will take you captive. We start fearing men. We start fearing circumstances. We start fearing tomorrow. We start fearing things. And we hasten to loose ourselves. We try to loose ourselves, lest we die in the pit or our bread fail. God says in verse 15, but I am the Lord thy God. I'm the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. He's speaking this primarily to his prophet Isaiah, but he's speaking it to all his messengers, all his people who he's gathered us together to bear witness to him. He's comforting us. He's strengthening us. He's renewing us. He says, I'm the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God. Don't be acting like the captive exile who's all full of anxiety and trying to loose himself and save himself. I'm the Lord thy God. I redeemed you from the sea of my wrath, from the depths of that sea. And he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. This is what he accomplished. The Lord of hosts is his name. Men and things and all creation is controlled by him. We're controlled by him. Everything's controlled by him. And he reminds us why he called us. Why did he call you? What's our purpose? Why did he call Isaiah? Verse 16, I've put my words in thy mouth. Remember back over there when he saw the glory of the Lord and heard holy, 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 and they brought a coal from off the altar and put it on his tongue? And the Lord said, who shall go for us? And he said, here I am, Lord, send me. The Lord said, I've put my words in your mouth. Put my words in your mouth. I called you and I've sent you to preach my word. Look, verse 16. And I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Christ said, none shall harm you. I've got you covered. What does he send us forth to preach? Why does he send us forth to preach? Why does he have us preach this gospel? Now look at this. This is assurance. Verse 16. That I may plant the heavens. He's planting the new heavens. And lay the foundations of the new earth and say unto Zion, thou art my people. With every chosen, redeemed child, every sinner he calls to Christ, he's planting the new heaven and he's laying the foundations of the new earth. When he plants us on Christ, our foundation. Everyone he calls in, he's created. When you see that new Jerusalem coming out of heaven, it's his people. He's planting his people as the new heavens and the new earth. And he says, and I'm going to say to Zion, I'm going to say to my people, thou art my people. That's what he's doing. When he said, how am I going to give you a goodly inheritance? You're going to call me my father. And he said, I'm going to call you my people. That's why he put his word in the mouth of his messengers. That's why he's covering his people with his hand. Thou art my people. That's what he's going to say to all Zion. And so he commands us now with this great assurance. Watch verse 17. Now he's speaking to us here. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Look at verse 22. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I've taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling and the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. Christ did this. He drank the cup of the fury of God's wrath in place of his people. But God here speaks to you and me who are Jerusalem and says, you awake, you've drinking that cup already. You and I are going to drink this sweet cup of wine to remember Christ shedding his blood. And that's the cup he's given us to drink. But for us, he drank the cup of God's wrath. He drank that cup of fury. He's the one who pleads the cause of his people. And he's pled the cause of his people. And he says to you and I, you won't drink it again. You will not drink it again. So he says, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. Your righteousness is established. Your justice is satisfied. Now he says, verse 18, back up there, he describes their day and he describes our day. And he said, this is why I'm sending you forth. There's none to guide her among all the sons whom she brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she's brought up. These two things are come unto thee, and who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? He's saying there's nobody in this land, in this world, that can comfort my people. But he said, I'm going to comfort them through this gospel. I'm going to call them through this gospel. I'm going to give them these blessings through this gospel. And so he says to us, that's why I'm sending you. If he called you and he's blessed you and he's increased you, he's not going to stop calling you. He's not going to stop blessing you. He's not going to stop increasing you, because he has a people he's going to call out, and there's nobody else to do it. And he's going to do it through his church, through his people. Now look again, he says, I am he that shall comfort thee. I'll comfort my people through this gospel. So he says to us in Isaiah 52:1, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. These ones I'm calling, I'm going to circumcise them in heart, and I'm going to purify them in heart, and they're going to be washed in the blood. Every one of them. He's talking about his spiritual Jerusalem, his spiritual Zion. So he says to us, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. When he's redeemed us, he's taken that yoke of bondage off of us. He says now, shake it off. Shake it off. Arise from the dust. Shake it off. For thus saith the Lord, you sold yourselves for naught. You shall be redeemed without money. And that's what he's done. He's redeemed us without money. Verse 5, he says, now therefore, verse 4 just tells us that they were in Assyria. And he says, verse 5, now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. That's a good description. The Assyrian here is a good picture of all falsehood, all false worship, all vain works religion. And making my people to howl. They're putting heavy burdens on my people. They're binding and yoking and biting and devouring my people. But he says, I'm calling them out. Now watch this, verse 6. Therefore, now he sends Isaiah and the children of Israel to preach, just like he sends us to preach his gospel. But now watch what he does through the gospel. Verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day, the day when he calls his child. They're going to know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. Didn't he say, I am he that comforts you? I'm the one who comforts my people. And he says here, my people shall know my name. And that day, he said, I alone call them. I alone bless them. I alone increase them. And he does this throughout the life of faith. And when he does it, every time he does it, he says, they shall know I am he that does speak. Behold, it's I. It's I. So what he's telling them and what he's telling us is no matter how dire things may appear, he says, hearken to me. Now look back at Abraham. I called him alone. I alone blessed him. I alone increased him. And he says, that's what I'm going to do for you. That's what I'm going to do for my people. Don't fear men. Don't fear things. Don't look around and get despondent because of your circumstances. He said, I'm the Lord of hosts. I gave you your circumstances. Look to me, he said. Look to me. I've covered you in my hand. I've put my words in your mouth. You're going to preach it because I'm calling all of Zion and they're going to be brought before me and I'm going to say, you're my people. You're my people. And so as long as he has a lost sheep, this gospel age is going to continue. His church is going to continue. His people are going to continue because he said, they shall know me from the least to the greatest. They're going to know me. And when he calls you and he comforts you, he blesses you and he increases you with this good news, what do we say? Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, and says unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's what he teaches us over and over and over. Thy God reigneth. Look to him. Look to him. He's the only one that can wake us up and make us look to him. He's the only one. And when he does, he'll bring you to call on him. And he'll bring you to call on him. And he'll bring these blessings home to your heart. And you'll see, I have nothing to worry about. I have absolutely nothing to worry about. I have eternal life. Why fear that which is not eternal? That's so of you, believer. That's so of me. We have eternal life. Everything we can see with these eyes is going to vanish. But his people are forever by his everlasting righteousness. I pray he blessed that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we ask you to cause us to hearken to you. Cause us to listen to you. This is your word to your people. Make us hear you. Lord, renew us, strengthen us, awaken us, so that we call upon you and trust you, so that we see just how established, you've established your people in Christ. We see how capable you are of lifting us up, of strengthening us, of correcting us, of leading us. Just as you brought all our salvation from the beginning, you'll accomplish it till the end. Lord, comfort your people with these words. Strengthen your people with these words. Make us truly look upon the mountains and see that Christ is him that comes. Make us hear him and know his name, that we might rejoice in this proclamation of peace and this proclamation of your gospel, that we might be comforted knowing that our God reigns. Lord, we need you to make this word effectual. We ask you for that. Forgive us, Lord, for looking at the waves, and forgive us, Lord, for where we failed you, where we've sinned, where we've fallen. And Lord, keep us being an encouragement to one another. Keep us being a comfort to one another. reminding one another of these great promises you've given us. Lord, don't ever let us put the yoke on one another. Help us to help one another lift each other from the dust. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.